Morning, Rob.
Good morning.
How are you?
Happy New Year. The shoes.
Well, good morning, church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We know your word is truth. We thank you for your spirit who has been sent to guide us into all truth. We pray that this day will be a day of truth revealing for each one of us. At the start of this new year, that we'll make that decision before you to live in truth, to be people of truth, to be people of your word. Be people that please you in the way we think and the way we act. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to spend a few moments reviewing some of the things we spoke about last time because I want to develop it a little bit further. It's been a few months, so we'll just spend a few minutes on it. Last time we spoke about the reality that God's ways, God's will, God's purposes are completely different to ours. And we use those verses in Isaiah 55, which says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. So when you consider God, when you consider what God wants to do, and when you consider how God's going to do it, you need to just cover that in, he's probably going to do it differently to the way you would do it. It's probably going to have a different outcome and a different way and a different process to the way we would in the natural want to do it or think it should be done. It's different to ours. And then we looked at those verses in Romans 12 which talk about that the only way we can determine what God's will is, so God's will, his way, his purpose is completely different to ours, and so if we could never find out what God's will and purposes was, we would just be lost. We'd just be like, what's the purpose? But the Bible tells us we can know what God's will is, we can know what his perfect will is, and the way that we do that is by, there's a couple of aspects to determining what his will is for our lives, and in Romans 12, it talks about that we need to renew our mind. So we looked at the fact that our mind acts like a computer, it gathers information through our senses. So we've got our five physical senses. It gathers information. That information comes into that area of our, what the Bible calls our soul dimension, which is basically we could better understand it by saying that that's really our mind and our emotions and all that. So the information comes into our mind. Our mind acts like a computer. It processes that information and then our actions or our body works out those decisions. And so the Bible says that we need to renew our mind or change the way we're thinking. So we looked at that and said, well, really the only way that we can change the way we're thinking is by bringing in different information. So the information is collected or brought into that region of our soul or our mind via our senses. So what we see, what we touch, what we taste, what we hear, all of that is gathering information. So we need a different source of information if we're going to change the way we're thinking. Yep. You can't keep thinking the same things and have a different outcome. It doesn't work that way. So we looked at the information that comes through our senses at its very best produces what we would call a fact. At its best. Not always, but when it's working at its best, it produces a fact. Whereas the Bible talks about the Word of God being truth. Now, truth is different to fact. Truth is eternal. It's completely different. And so we use the illustration. This is a really important illustration, even though it's so simple. So I'm going to do it again because it's really where I want to go today. And what I really want us to be able to consider today is to be more aware of God inside of us than all the things that are happening around about us. To be God inside-minded. And that seems like a pretty basic and standard thing for us as Christians to understand and to walk in, but if we were to believe that and to walk in that, it would change our reality. So if I was to say to you, is God here with us today? Via your senses, if I said, look around, use your senses, collect the information that at its very best is facts, we would have to say it's a fact that God is not here because I cannot see him, I cannot hear him with my physical ears, I cannot reach out and touch him. So the facts say that God is not here. But we know that truth says what God says. Jesus said, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. We know that truth says that God is always with us. He said, I am with you to the end of the ages, lo, I will never leave you. So we've got a contrasting set of information, fact and truth. And so we on purpose have to believe truth. Otherwise, fact is really our default setting. So if we don't actively allow truth to win that battle that takes place in our mind, then we're going to operate by facts. Which means because we don't feel like God is with us, we pray that God would be with us. God, please be with me as I... So facts, very best that your natural, physical, soul dimension can produce. Bible says you need to renew that. You need to change the way you're thinking so that you can live in truth. Jesus said you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. So we're called in this world to live above the things of the world, to live, to be in the world, but to be not of it. But the only way that we can be not of it if we are operating under a different set of principles, a different set of values, a different set of information, and that's truth. And just let me jump ahead a little bit here for you. Sense information collector, but it's only a vehicle. In the same way that you get into a car to go to come to church, you live inside of your body. Your body is not the real you. When you look and stand in the mirror, you're just seeing the vehicle. And some people have got a nicer car than others, but it's just the vehicle. So don't get consumed about the vehicle. You've got to take care of it, but it's not you. You're just living in it temporary as you pass through. Then there's the soul dimension. And we've spoken a little bit about that. The center of that is the mind, the emotions and the will and all that. But the other part is the spirit. The spirit is a part of you which is reborn. When the Bible talks about the new creation, it's talking about the spirit. It's made in the image and likeness of God. It is alive to God. It's new. That is the real you. And the way it's supposed to work is your spirit is supposed to be in control because it's in communion and fellowship with God. And your spirit should have control over your soul because your soul has been renewed by the truth that is food for your spirit. And then your soul has authority over your body and makes your body do what your spirit tells it to. However, if you're not feeding your spirit with truth and the word of God, then your spirit is it's alive to God, but it's very weak. It's very immature. It's like a baby. It hasn't got the power and the strength to resist the natural mind, which has been so controlled by the earth and the ways of the world in the past, that your soul will have dominion over your spirit and you'll live what the Bible calls a carnal life. So even though you are a born-again person, you are still in your flesh is still in control of what you, of how you live, how you think. Are you all right with that? So that's your spirit, soul, and body, but we won't get into that. Our verse for today is 1 John 4, verse 4. He says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." The one who is in you is greater than the one in the world. It's a concern that we as Christian people are more aware of our fallen state, of our troubles and persecutions and problems and feelings, than we are of God inside of me. We need to spend some time and start meditating upon this reality that God lives in you. God doesn't live in the church anymore. Back in the Old Testament, God dwelt in the holy place, and people would come from miles away to be near God. But then he said, "I will no longer dwell in buildings made by man." So God doesn't live here. When you come to church, you're not coming to be with God. You bring God with you. And that's why you can have church wherever you go. Wherever. You can have it in a tent. You can have it out in the bush. It doesn't matter. Because you're bringing God with you. But that also means that wherever you go, God goes. Now that's a little bit concerning, because I think that sometimes we take God some places he doesn't really want to go. But if we start to think and to dwell upon this, then we start to realize that we're never alone. There's nothing that can happen in the world that we have to face alone. And that starts to deal with the fears and the worries and the anxieties that are so obvious in our world today. You only fear things that are out of your control. But how can it be out of your control if God is with you? If the Spirit is there to lead you into all truth and show you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, what are you afraid of? What are you worried about? What are you scared of? So you can see that this truth brings freedom. But just because God says it and it's truth doesn't make it truth for you. Because there's a battle that has to take place as that truth finds its way into your spirit. Your mind has to be renewed, and you need to understand that that's not something that the enemy wants to happen. In fact, if you want to spend some time on this, you need to look at the parable of the sower. Jesus told them this parable. He says, "Sow went out to sow seed, and he's planting seed," and you know the story. And the disciples came to him later and said, "We understand what a farmer does, but what do you mean? What's this all about?" And Jesus said to his disciples, "says, don't you understand this? If you don't understand this, you will not understand anything about the kingdom of God." So that makes it a very strategic, important a story or teaching for us to understand as the church. And then Jesus went on to explain what it meant. He said, "The sower sows the word. So the word can be sown a number of ways. It can be sown by someone telling you about it. It can be sown by you reading it. However, it's the word, it's the truth. And then the enemy comes to steal the word. He comes immediately because he knows it's the word that will set you free. So he knows it's a lot easier for him to cause doubts and trouble and worries to take away that seed, to pluck it up while it's still a seed, because once it's established in you and grown down and has roots, not only will it grow, but it will produce fruit after its own kind. So you can guarantee that when you make your New Year's resolution to spend more time in God's word, you're going to have trouble coming. Because the enemy's going to come. You sit down to read your Bible, you can guarantee someone's going to ring you or your phone's going to go off. His primary purpose is to keep you separated from the word. Because he knows if you are separated from the word, your mind is not renewed, you'll still act as the world acts, and you are no danger to him whatsoever. So there's a battle that has to take place. It's continuously happening between truth and fact in your life. Let's have a look at Romans 4. Romans 4, verse 16. And this is a story about Abraham, and so I'm hoping that you're familiar with some of these things because we're just going to go over it a little bit. He says, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He's the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our Father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they are. Let me just pause there. Here's God. When he speaks truth, regardless if the facts appear differently. The God who calls things that appear not as though they are. So it shouldn't be any concern for you to start doing the same thing. See, we have justified our position of doubt by saying, I can't say that, it's not true. But God says, no, you can say it's true because I've said it, even when the facts appear differently. So I can say that God is with me regardless of how I feel or regardless of what I see, because that is what God does. He calls things that appear not as though they are. So I can confess and say things over my life, over my family, over my circumstances, over my church, over my community that don't appear to be right in the natural, but in God's sight, they're truth. You all right with this? The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. All right, we've spoken about facts. He faced the reality of what his senses and what his body was saying to him. And I'm not saying that we should be denying the facts. We should be just denying the reality of the facts to exist in our lives when truth is different. So Abraham faced the facts that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. She was about 90. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Now, when we read that in the New Testament, we think, wow, Abraham, right up there. But if you go back to Genesis, you'll see that a battle took place between fact and truth in Abraham's life. Because when God came to him and said, I'm going to give you a child, he says, how's that possible? You can't do that. I'm too old. And then he looked at Sarah's wife and said, and then he said, well, how about Ishmael? Let's use Ishmael instead. We can make your promises come to pass with that. So there was a battle taking place because he was considering the facts and he was wrestling with it and he was talking to God about it. But at the end, he chose to believe truth, the promise of God. And he was fully confident that what God had said, that Abraham, you will have a child with Sarah. He was confident that God had the power to do what he said he would do. But there was a battle that took place. Every word of truth has to be established in your life. Do you remember the armor of God? You got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word. It's a sword. It's a fighting thing. I know you can protect yourself with the sword, but you've got the shield of faith. So the sword is a predominantly a fighting weapon. You've got the word of God to fight in that battle that's taking place in your mind between what God says, truth, and what the world is telling you. When you're lonely, when you're by yourself, when you're feeling like there's no hope, you've got a weapon to fight against that because that's not what God says. He says, no, I am here. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And the truth of God's word concerning peace, concerning God's blessings, concerning the gifting, concerning eternity. So you don't have to fear death. Paul says, I'd much rather die if I had a choice. See, he understood what it was all about. Dying is simply that point that your body, you leave your body, the real you continues in a better state. He said, I'd much rather die, but it's better for me to be here with you for a while to be able to teach you and to be able to train you, so I'll stay. So there's no fear, and that's what the Bible says. Fear, where's your sting? So the truth of these things, the truth of righteousness, of being in right standing with God, when we're more aware of our sins and of our failings and everything else than we are about righteousness. We want to talk about all the times we mess up and whatever else, rather than talking about the fact that we are in right standing with God because of Jesus. That yes, we do honour the blood of Jesus, we do honour that, but that happened a long time ago in each one of our lives, and we're moving on in righteousness, our right standing with God. And if we don't have an understanding of righteousness, and this is what Paul said, these are the elementary things of the teachings. He says, I couldn't teach you the deeper things because you still don't understand the elementary things. We've got to get these things established in our life, that I am in right standing with God because of what God did, not because of me. It's not something I do, but because of that, I accept that and I move on with it. I haven't got, my sin consciousness is falling behind me. I'm more aware of God's power to do good in my life than I am of Satan's power to do bad in my life. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth of prayer, the truth of authority over the enemy. The greater one is in me than is in the world. Satan comes to steal the word, but the Holy Spirit comes to reveal the word. There's an interesting thing that we can determine, because sometimes it gets a bit confusing. We say, well, I don't know where I'm at with all of this. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, whatever's in your heart in abundance is what's coming out of your mouth. So if you listen to the words that you're speaking, you'll be able to determine the level of truth that's in your life. Or whether you're still operating by facts. So if your prayer is, God, I pray that you will be with me today, as you listen to that, those words come out of your mouth, you can quickly identify that you need to really meditate a little bit upon the fact, the reality of the truth, that God is with you. So instead of, God, please be with me today, God, I thank you that you are with me. And because you are with me, everything changes. My whole prayer changes. Imagine driving down to the down to town with your wife and people in the car, and you're just talking to the people in the car and saying, I wish my wife was here, and she's looking at you thinking, oh, wouldn't it be good if she was here with us today? And that's what we do to God. We need to become more aware of God inside of us than everything else. Believe more what God says than what the world says. So our mouth helps to identify where we're at. So Jesus said in John 17, and we talked about this last time, he said, sanctify them by your truth. We spoke about sanctifying being separated from to. So I'm being separated from the world to God. I'm being separated from the way the world does things into the way the kingdom operates, the way God does things. And it's truth that separates me. It's truth that renews my mind. It's truth that says, no, while that is a fact, while that is what your senses are telling you, God says something completely different. Remember this. Everything that your senses tells you is temporary. In fact, everything that your senses can identify or relate to is temporary. It's passing away. Anything you can touch, I can touch this. In 20 years, it won't be here. Anything that you can touch is passing away. I can touch my body. It's passing away. The only thing that is eternal is God's truth. And that's why Paul says, everything that you can see is temporary and is therefore subject to change. God's word is truth. It's eternal. It lasts forever. Sanctify them, separate them from the natural, from the physical, from the temporary by your word. Your word is truth. And so we need to find and discover more truth in our life. We need to start to think and to meditate. Do you remember Joshua when he was to take over after Moses, and he went to God and he says, this is crazy, Moses is the greatest leader we've ever had. What am I supposed to do? And God said to Joshua, meditate on my word. Think about it day and night. Don't let it depart from you. Do exactly what it says. And that's exactly what he'd say to us each today. Meditate, think, process, allow it to drop from our mind into our hearts. Take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and fight against those thoughts that would come that would try and remove it from you while it's still a seed. Find out more about God's Word. We need to read and study God's Word on purpose. And I guess it's a challenge for all of us. I've got to say, we tend to look after ourselves physically pretty well. You know, if we miss a meal, your body tells you, doesn't it? You start to get a bit grumpy and whatever else, miss a couple of meals, and you're really starting to feel uncomfortable and really starting to, on purpose, look for food. If we could see ourselves spiritually, if spiritually we could stand with our spiritual body and our physical body and see ourselves, I wonder what condition our spiritual body would be in. If we understand that receiving God's word into our life and applying it and living it is what feeds us spiritually, how well would you look spiritually if you could see with spiritual eyes your spiritual self? How much time are you spending in God's word? How much are you applying it to your life? How much is it your determining source of information? All of these things that we could talk about. Physically, we look after ourselves. Spiritually, if you're just coming to church on a Sunday and expecting the sermonette that you may get to be sufficient for you to be able to resist the evil that is in the world, for you to be able to stand against the facts that, and the enemy's mission to keep you from truth, it's not going to work. You must on purpose determine to study and apply God's word to your life. And it's going to take more than just a Sunday. I don't know if you've worked that out yet, but it's just... So let me give you a couple of keys to how to do this. First of all, you need to make some set some time aside to be able to get God's word into your life. You've got to... See, the Holy Spirit is there to lead you into all truth, but he needs truth to work with. You understand? I mean, you can be a good cook, but if you haven't got any ingredients, you're not going to do anything. So it's your responsibility to give the Holy Spirit the truth or the word in your life that he can apply it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to do anything. We'd just sit there and say, Holy Spirit, just do it. Just do it. But we know that's not right. So the more word that you allow to come into your life, whether that's however you do that, the more the Holy Spirit's got to work with in your life, and the more mature and whole as a Christian person you're going to be. Right? So it's making time on purpose to do that, however that works for you. You need to take charge of what you're putting into you. You understand that, you know, when you sit in front of the television, that's not truth. And so, you know, it's so easy, we can just easily... Hours can be consumed. Look into that box. It's not truth. And so information, the worries, the cares of the world, remember they're the things that are entering in and steal off the word. That's what's coming into your life by that box. And so if you are not somehow getting more truth to be able to fight against that, then the enemy's got more to work with than the Holy Spirit's got to work with in your life. And it's very difficult for him to take you forward in that and in those circumstances. Second, we need to take captive every thought. Remember, Paul says to the Corinthians, you need to take captive those rebel thoughts. So your thought life is so important. I really haven't got the time to go into this, but you understand that the battle is happening in your mind, and that's your thought life. God says this, oh, but this, oh, but what about that? And all of these things, it's just like a crazy thing that's happening in your mental world. And Paul says you need to, on purpose, take authority over those thoughts, cast down imaginations, anything that exalts itself or makes itself higher or more important than truth, you need to take it captive and say, no, I will not think about those things. I will not allow those things to dwell in my mind, because if they do, they become a part of your processing system, which results in your actions. And so when you start to worry about things, you need to reach out and take a hold of that worry and find out what God says about it and apply truth to that and say, I will not worry about my family. I will not worry about my health. I will not worry about my future. I will not worry about my job. Whatever it is, because God says this. So I take captive that rebel thought. It's rebel in God's army, in God's sight, in God's word. I'm taking it captive and I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to give it any airtime. So I take captive rebel thoughts. I need to confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart. And so I need to start talking about the Word of God. I need to start agreeing out loud with what God says about me. There's a funny thing that happens when you start talking. And don't worry about talking to yourself. It's okay. It's just what you say that's important. Because as you talk to yourself, you hear yourself say it, and it actually re-enters into your mind, and it's a continuous process that happens. And that's a part of the process of what the Bible talks about meditation. It's like a meditation means to mutter. It's like you're going over and over and over it, not because you're declining mentally, but because you are feeding yourself and you're regurgitating the same way. Well, no, I better not talk about it. In the same way a cow regurgitates its grass, you understand that? We are regurgitating God's word. It's going over and over and over as it settles and takes root within our life to be able to bring forth a harvest for righteousness. So you just can't get a promise of God and say, oh yeah, this is truth. The Lord is with me always. Okay, I'm good. Yep. It doesn't work like that. It's got to be established in you. You've got to meditate upon it. It's got to become big in your head. So when you close your eyes, you see God with you. In the darkness of the night, when night's surrounding and things are not looking, you close your eyes and you see God. More aware of God inside of me than what the night brings. More aware that God is for me than the worry that that world brings. Do you understand? There's a battle that takes place, but you determine who wins. You determine who's that's the time to be able to win that. So we need to confess it with our mouth, and then, of course, you need to act upon what the Word says. James says you can't just talk about faith without actions. Faith without works is dead. And so therefore, as it starts to develop within me, as it becomes bigger on the inside of me, what God says about me, what God says about those circumstances, then I can start to take steps of faith based upon what God says rather than based upon my fears and my worries and what the world is telling me to do. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. We live by faith, not by sight, facts. All right? So let me give you a couple of things that we can start thinking about and applying to our lives in this year. God is in me. He goes wherever I am. I'm never alone. That one should keep you busy for a while. I'm never alone. It'll just transform your life. I mean, you go into a room and you're the smartest one there. Other people might not know what to do. But you'll know what to do because the Spirit is there. He's there to lead you into all truth. He's more discerning. He's more knowledgeable. Don't let everybody else know that you're the smartest person in the room, bud. But you don't have to be intimidated by the circumstance, the situation, by people, because God is in you. God inside-minded. More aware of God in me than the enemy in the world. More confident in God's ability to be able to protect me than the enemy's ability to be able to hurt me. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll fear nothing. So these are things you can start thinking about. The truth of that, allowing the truth of that to come in, to meditate upon it, to be, I think, turn the television off for a little while and just sit down and think, the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd's only got one purpose, and that's to look after the sheep. God's one purpose is to look after you. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear. He's my shepherd. He gives me peace. He restores my soul. Yeah, that's the area. He wants to restore it. I don't have to worry. I can cast any cares, anything that the enemy brings in. So the parable of the sower talks about the cares of the world entering in to take away the seed. I cast my cares upon him, for he cares for me. So I don't have to carry the cares. So the enemy comes in, talks about your cares and your worries and whatever else, and you can just say, I'm casting them upon him. I refuse to allow anxiety and worry and cares and fears in my life. I'm not being unresponsible because I've given them to him. He's better able to deal with them than I am. So if anything, I'm being more responsible. How about this one? God loves me the same way he loves Jesus. Yeah, try and get your head around that one. God loves me in the same way, to the same degree that he loves Jesus. You know who said that? Jesus praying for his disciples. Father, show them that you love them in the same way, same degree, exactly the same as you have loved me. Now, we wouldn't debate that God the Father loves the Son. It's undisputed. But truth says, in exactly the same way, God the Father loves you. I should keep you busy for a week. I am a new creation. The old has completely gone. So it's no good talking about the sinner you used to be. In fact, when God looks at you, he doesn't see a sinner. So when you talk to God about how bad you are, God says, what are you talking about? It doesn't compute for him. Because when he looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. He sees the new creation. He sees who you are. You see your faults and who you've been. And he says, no, don't think of yourself like that anymore. This is who you are. This is what I say. But you've got to choose what you believe. You've got to choose whether you're going to believe the facts, which may be that you're a bit upset with yourself or don't like the way you look or whatever else, or you're going to believe the truth, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Oh, I'm not making this up. This is actually what the Bible says. If we had time, we could turn to all the scriptures and I could show you. This is what God says about you. He says you're new, completely new. The old has completely gone. We want to drag it along behind us. Let it go. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What was that you said you couldn't do? I have the Spirit of God within me to guide me into all truth. So don't consider it and look at it and say, oh, this is just such a big thing. It's just so hard. It's just so difficult, whatever else. It's okay. Because he has given us his Spirit to guide us and to lead us into truth. And all he's simply saying is, I need something to work with. Give me some word so I can work with that in your life. Give me some seeds so I can plant it in your life. And let's see it grow. And let's see it develop. And let's see that harvest of truth bear fruit, set you free. Let the truth of God's presence set you free from fear, from loneliness, from anxiety, from worry, or whatever else it is. It's the truth that sets you free. It's not something you do. It's his word at work within your life. But it's in your hand. We've never had, I mean, you really need to remember, back when Paul was teaching this stuff, they didn't have a Bible they could turn to and look up and see what all the other apostles and disciples have been saying and compare it and whatever else and say whatever. We've never been in a better position to be able to apply truth and to be able to live truth in our life than what we are. I'm sure you've all got numerous versions of the Bible sitting on your shelf at home. It's full of truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminder that we need to be diligent. We need to be committed to be people of your word. Father, as we process some of these things, I ask your Holy Spirit would take these things and apply them to our lives. Lead us into the truth that we'd make decisions that please you and decisions that bring fruits of righteousness within our life, freedom from the cares and worries of this world. As we fight a fight of faith this week, as we choose truth over the facts, over the circumstances, Father, we pray that your kingdom will come and your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.